Well, hey there, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you getting underway on EWTN Radio. Along with Debbie Giorgiani and the show team, Ace, Jeff, and Matt, I am Jerry Usher. We are underway here, second day of the week, an important day, election day. Get out there and vote. And we're going to be talking about something that you should be able to relate to, because we all come from families that have various traditions. And Debbie, that's what we're going to talk about today.
I was talking with my brother this morning. Actually, today would have been my parents' wedding anniversary. They're both deceased. They're both gone. But it was like 60, it must have been 60 some odd years, because my oldest sister's in her 60s. So yeah. But yeah, it would have been their wedding anniversary. So we were thinking about family, you know, we're talking about family, talking about our parents, and then the topic of family traditions came up. And I said to my brother, I said, we never really had set family traditions. And he goes, yeah, we really didn't. And so it's kind of interesting. This would actually give us a lot. So for those families that have never really had family traditions, if people would call in and share some of their specific, very unique family that is unique to their own family, that could give all of us ideas going forward. What do you think about that, Jerry? Do you have any family traditions?
Well, we did, yeah. I mean, we're all scattered to the four winds now, pretty much, so we're typically not together as a family all that often. But, yeah, we did have some, yeah, some that were kind of fun and cool and creative and unique. I can share one or two of those maybe as the show goes on. But as Debbie said, Take Two family, we're looking to hear from you. And we're heading into the holidays, so that could be certainly part of it. If you have family traditions surrounding Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. What about birthdays, anniversaries, vacations, occasions for your family to get together? How are some of the ways that you have typically and traditionally celebrated together as a family? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
We didn't really have family traditions in my household and when growing up, but we did have a lot of food. So food was a big deal. We always had an abundance of food. So anybody who can relate to that, you know, in Italian there was always this idea, the dialect of a Sicilian dialect, people would say mange, mange, that means eat, eat. So you constant food, and you send people home with food, lots of it. So I don't know if that's a tradition.
Miracle of the multiplication.
The miracle. Did you have a lot of food, or was your family more like they'd set the table and you had just enough food and then just a little bit of leftovers?
There was a lot, yeah, especially when my late sister would host like Thanksgiving or Christmas. It would be kind of like, an embarrassment of riches or something. But, you know, that's the way some people like to host and like to celebrate. So love to hear from our listeners right now. Take Two Family, your family traditions, 833-288-3986. And go ahead, Deb.
I was just going to say Advent. Advent's coming up. You were talking about holidays coming up. You know, Advent is one of those liturgical seasons that a lot of us, you know, skip over. And I just was, we're trying to bring it back because it's a very important time of the year in our church. And it's an important time for our faith lives and our spiritual lives. So it would be good to really dive deeply into Advent. We've got a show coming up shortly on that. But maybe if you have any Advent traditions, do you pull out the Advent wreath? Do you, you know, have the youngest child light the Advent wreath? You know, that type of thing. Is there certain things that you do that revolve around the church year? I think those are very important too, Jerry.
Very much so. Very much so. So again, it doesn't have to be holiday specific. It can be really anything and everything today, talking about family traditions. Again, at 833-288-3986. I will say one tradition that we had that you always could tell it was around the holidays, because there was clam dip being served.
Oh, clam dip. Oh, we had shrimp cocktail. Kind of, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so you had clam dip and we had shrimp cocktail. Wow. I love shrimp cocktail. So do you, but is clams, was that the area of where you grew up in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, right there. We would go clam digging often and many times very, very early in the morning, depending on when the tide was right for clam digging. But yeah, that was, and I still, I'll make it occasionally during the middle of the year, not even around the holidays, just to kind of satisfy my palate for some clam
now,
dip.
Okay, now let me ask you this question. When you make it, does it bring you back to that time when you did it when you were younger?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I take pictures of it. I text it to my brothers, you know, and we all do thumbs up and, you know, we're just, our mouths are watering and stuff. So, yeah, that's definitely one of our family traditions.
So it makes an impact. So that's what we're talking about today, how family traditions leave an impact on every member of the family for a lifetime, right? And maybe you grew up with family traditions. Maybe people moved away and you let those go, but you want to bring them back. Or maybe you want some new ideas for family traditions. You want to start that legacy right now. Call in and share with us. This is an important topic. Okay, we need to. I love getting back to traditions. I think it's very important. I think it lets people come back home and recenter. That's a beautiful thing. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and tell us about, you know, if you had traditions growing up and now you've got your own kids and you're passing those on to them, maybe even grandparents are involved, more than two generations. It's just a beautiful thing. And I know, I think, Debbie, often I really don't even know what my heritage is. I know you're 100%, you know, Italian. You talk about that. You're proud of that. I wish I kind of knew more about that for myself. But maybe you want to call in and talk about, you know, how you're ethnicity, you know, leads you in certain family traditions. I think, wasn't this topic, we had to move it for some reason. It was originally scheduled on National Pasta Day, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah, that's too funny.
Yeah.
That's too funny. Well, it's interesting that you say, I know where, you know, I'm from. Marty's brother just sent a picture of Marty's dad's, his family's home in Sicily. That's there. It's no longer there. They sold it a long time ago. But the original home where his dad was from, and it's, boy, is it super tiny. But it was amazing that they were able to track it down in Sicily.
Beautiful.
The original home. Yeah.
Matt Gubinski has already been put to work. He is answering, screening your calls right now. Still a couple of phone lines open, and we would love to hear from you. As Debbie said at the start of the show, you could share some family traditions of yours that could give a lot of other people some ideas, and who knows, you could really make an impactful difference in people's lives and in their families today. So share with us any family tradition that you have at all. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986.
Talking about family traditions today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. You don't have to be Catholic to call in if you're listening to Take Two. We're a live call-in show. It's a very safe, friendly platform for you to call in and share your family traditions. We consider you part of our family. 833-288-3986. And before we go to the phones, I wanted to share today. Today is the midterm elections here in the United States. There are many important issues this year, but none are more important than life itself. Remember to vote and to vote for life. Okay.
Amen. Okay, talking about family traditions, we are going to begin with John, who called in first from Dodge City, Kansas, listening on KODC. Hi, John. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning. I love your show.
Thanks.
Okay, the tradition that, now that I'm sitting here thinking all the different things that we did as a kid, and I never considered them traditions, but they were. But one that stands out is we did it Easter time. And we would have, just before breakfast, we would have raw eggs. My dad would hold the first raw egg in his hand, and then the next person would try to crack that egg with their egg. You follow?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then if I cracked my dad's egg, then he would be out and put the egg down, and then I would be the one holding the egg. And we go to see how many times one person can still be, you know, still have the egg, and I don't remember if we won a prize or whatever. But then my dad would just cook the eggs up for breakfast, but it was so much fun because my dad would always get upset if we got too carried away and had eggs flying all over the place. But yeah, it really, really was a fun time.
Yeah.
Well, wait, I have to ask a couple questions, John. So when you were cracking these eggs, like your dad would hold the, you said it was raw egg. Where did the, if you cracked your dad's egg, where did that egg stuff go?
You only just cracked it enough just to crack it. I mean, you didn't crack it, but you cracked it all the way open. So it was all over your hand. So that was, that was a no-no. You were out for sure, even if you were the holder. Yeah. I mean, the smasher.
Okay, gotcha. So you just made a little crack. It wasn't like you smashed it. See, you have to come into our family, John. When we play hard. So ours would have smashed all over the place.
Yeah. We used to, on Shrove Tuesday, we used to toss pancakes in the air. That was so much fun too.
Wow. Yeah, so you had it. Yeah. Your home was filled with a lot of laughter, huh?
Yeah, it was. Well, it was five boys and a girl, so there you go. Boys, you know, we were primarily pretty rambunctious, as I look back at it. So, yeah.
Rowdy. It's beautiful to hear your voice, though, John, as you're laughing as you're telling this, and that just, this is what this program, the topic is about today, is just things that we did at one time or still do in our families, and the things that we remember so fondly. And it's just, it reminded me as you were talking of the rock, paper, scissors game a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but mm-hmm. Way to go, John.
Yep, well, yeah. Well, thank you for letting me talk. It was fun.
Oh, you're very welcome. Aww. Anytime, John, please call again.
Yes, and thank you for the kind words, John. Take care. Thank you. That was a beautiful call. Mm-hmm. Okay, John just freed up a line there, so if you'd like to call in and share your family traditions, please do so now. You'll speak to Matt Gabinski. He's wonderful. He's great to talk to. And I say that all the time because he really is. I love talking to Matt. 833-288-3986.
All right, let's go to St. Louis. Lou is next, listening on EWTN.com. Hi, Lou.
Hi, a pleasure to be with you. A quite common family tradition is the family reunion. And my mother's family, she had about a dozen brothers and sisters, was the family reunion, which began right after World War II, and still continues to this day, although all of the original siblings have passed on, but a number of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren still attend, although not as many as did originally and through the 50s. It's held the last Sunday of every June in central Michigan, and a lot of the descendants have gone to different parts of the country, but a number of them still come back and attend the family reunion, and it's always nice to get together with them and to see them and to see how their lives are going and see them in person.
Hmm. Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you about that geographic issue, Lou. If all of, say, your mother and her siblings and all the people that used to get together, like you said, right after World War II, was it better attended, do you think, because people were closer together? I mean, because I know my family, I've got three surviving brothers, my sister passed away, but we're literally in the four corners of the country, and it really makes it a real challenge, you know, financially and many other ways to get together. So has that been a factor in how this has evolved or changed over the years?
Oh, I believe so. That in the 50s, when I remember, there were dozens that got together of the original siblings and their children, and there hadn't been any or just a few grandchildren at that time. So there was a large gathering then. But as time has gone on, people have gone to different places. For instance, I'm now in St. Louis, Missouri, and many others have gone to other places, but some of them come back. I know one of my nephews comes back every year from New Jersey, and there are a few others that come back from Ohio and places like that, but it's definitely not as well attended now as it was then, because as you said, I believe, and I believe it's true that we don't live as close together as we did originally.
And it sounds like everybody looks forward to seeing each other when you do get together and you get along, right? So that's a beautiful thing, because, you know, some family reunions don't go so, they don't go as well as it sounds like yours has done over the time. So that's beautiful, Lou. You're very blessed. I mean, it sounds like you have a wonderful family, an extended family as well.
Yeah, I guess you could say blood is thicker than water. There are some differences of political and even religious, but we seem to just, you know, not emphasize those whatsoever, but just care for each other as, you know, human beings and,
right.
and like that. And
respect
and
each other.
Well.
There's respect.
One of my cousins has kept it going, and so she's kind of the almost like the matriarch of the family now. So she keeps it going every year.
Beautiful.
See, that's wonderful. It sounds very loving. Very respectful.
Very healthy. I'm glad that you shared that, Lou. Like you said, in spite of the differences, we you know, every family, you know, family is family, and not everybody's going to see eye to eye on everything. But it sounds sounds like you've got some great memories of that. So thank you, Lou. Thank you so much for being part of this conversation today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. 833-288-3986. Yeah, very good call so far. And we've got room for some more. A couple of lines are open now. We got several that we're going to get to. 833-288-3986. Talking today about family traditions, holidays coming up, Advent wreaths, Christmas celebrations, get-togethers, reunions, birthdays, anniversaries, any time of the year. If you've got, you know, unique or creative or inspiring family traditions, please share them with us on the show today.
I know families that when they get together for holidays, they all bring their still pictures and you know, video clips and things, and they catch each other up on all that. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we got social media and other ways to stay connected nowadays, but still, you know, a lot of details about the lives of our family and friends fall through the cracks. So, yeah, it's good to bring all that information together and just really relive memories. You know, we're kind of wired that way. We're nostalgic people, I think, by nature.
Oh, I totally agree. Okay, and they even did a study at one time, or they did a survey or something about people who said that if they lost, you know, if God forbid you had a house fire or something like that, what would be one of the boxes you would grab, and that it would be their photos.
Yeah, we did a show on that once, didn't we?
Did we do a show? Maybe
so,
that's where I learned it. I'm trying to tell you this week. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm getting older by the minute. Literally.
Well, you will be another year older tomorrow.
I know, that's why. This is it. My last day of being 56 years old. Okay, Cleveland's up next in Maryland on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Cleveland.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hi. Yes, I'm doing well. Yes. I just wanted to just make this a quick one because I know other people are waiting. My family is from the South. And we're African Americans, and we can trace, you know, our family trees back to the, maybe to the 1700s, you know, doing slavery and all that. So, as an African American family from the South, originally from the South, my grandma she cooked the best collard greens. she's from not just from the South, she's from the Old South. And she's deceased now because she died in 2016 of a stroke, and she was 93. So what I missed about my grandmother is her collard greens. She made the best collard greens. No one can make collard greens like Grandma. And she did this every Thanksgiving, every Christmas. We get together ever since I was a little, since I was a little boy, my cousins and I don't have any brothers and sisters. I'm an only child. That's why I said my cousins and I. So even when my parents, when they were little, and their parents used to cook for them, you know, traditionally for them. So I just want to share this with now, you know, we still do it. To this day, we still do it that I'm all grown up now. I'm almost 60 years old, mm-hmm. you know, so, and, you know, some of the family is deceased, and, but we still, you know, play on those traditions, you know, and I didn't grow up Catholic. I grew up Protestant, but I mm-hmm. converted to Catholicism in 1992. So, but nice. Still, as a Christian family, mm-hmm. you know, and so I just wanted to share that we still share, you know, have those good traditions from one generation and pass it on to the next generation. You know, every Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to ask you this. Has anyone in your family attempted a grandma's recipe and tried to make it close to grandma?
Yeah, but they tried. I think they tried, but not like grandma.
right.
So she took it with her, right?
Yeah. Like I said, my grandmother is, I was born in D.C., but my family, like most African American families, migrated from the South to up Northern because, you know, the segregation, you know, the Jim Crow law and everything, you know, so my family was one of them, you know, so, but my grandmother was not just from the South. She's from the old South, where they did real deep cooking of the collard greens, and I'm going to miss that very much about her. One of the things mm-hmm. I'm going to miss about my grandma, yeah.
Do we have your grandmother in our book, Cleveland?
Yeah, Betsy Williams.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, Betsy.
Yeah. And my older grandmother, my other grandmother on my father's side is Eline Zollicoffer, and she can cook also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Are you a good cook, Cleveland?
Not even close, like my grandma. Not even close. I'm okay, but I don't think I can cook for anyone else but myself. I don't think I'm that good a cook.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Well, you know, we all give it our best shot. But like I said early in the show, you might have heard me mention, you know, my late sister. You know, she was the hostess with the mostest. You know, and I mentioned the clam dip tradition in our family, and it always was better when she made it. I don't know why. You know, I've tried to imitate it many times. I like it. I enjoy it. But when Mary made it, she kind of inherited the recipe and tradition from a girl she went to school with. So we borrowed that from their family, and it became one of our traditions. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it was never quite the same as when she made it. So yeah. I know what you're talking about, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Cleveland, let me ask you a question. Would your grandmother be pleased with your faith life? Because you're very strong in your faith.
Yes, I am. I've been retired from the government for 7 months. Mm-hmm. And my faith has gotten, I've grown closer. At first, when I converted in 92, because my family is Protestant. And when you come from a Protestant family and you're the only one who's Catholic, you're going to face some challenges there, you know, because your whole family is Protestant and you're the only one who's Catholic.
Sure.
So there's been some challenges, especially between me and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But, you know, she's aware that I'm very faithful in my faith as a Roman Catholic. So
beautiful.
She respects that, you know. We have our disagreements, you know, but still.
Yeah. You're a good man, Cleveland. Thank you so much. You've made a great contribution to our conversation today. And we love hearing from you on the program. Call again, please, 833-288-3986. Tell us about a family tradition of yours here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie today on EWTN Radio.
We're talking about family traditions today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Please call us if you want to share one of your great family events or things that you that are just so meaningful to you. We'd love to hear it because we're taking notes. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, I know we're going to go back to the phones, but on break, I just want to tell you that Cleveland's call got me real emotional because the way he was speaking about his grandma. It made me think of my grandmother. Mm. You know, and that's the beauty of this show, is it gets us thinking about people and situations and things that, you know, maybe as life is going so fast, we just don't ever take time and really think about. And so I just want to thank again Cleveland for calling in, because I think that was just a beautiful, precious call. And I think our grandparents are, wow, they were tremendous gifts to us. Mm-hmm. Were you close to your grandparents at all?
You know, I only knew one grandmother. My other three grandparents died fairly young, I think in their like 50s. And and my mother didn't have kids till she was 35. So, I mean, we were really, really young, really small when my grandparents. Okay. So I did know my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Was she
very
nice?
Devout. Oh, yes. Very devout, always praying the rosary, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure that, you know, a lot of the graces that have come into our family were certainly through her prayerfulness here on this earth. Yeah, absolutely.
True. Okay, let's hear what Kay has to say in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. Hello, Kay. Thank you for waiting, and please share with us your family traditions.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, Jerry, I just have to congratulate you and Debbie on your wonderful show. You came in to help us start a station many years ago called 1090.
Hi. Yeah.
You remember that?
I do, yes. Thank you. Uh-huh. Thanks for
calling.
Well,
I won't give my last name because you don't want that, but you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to tell you that we have an unusual tradition in my family. My sister had lived in St. Louis, and she wanted to do a little bit more than coming in for Thanksgiving to be with my parents and the rest of us in the family. So she started tradition 50 years ago where she prepared a spaghetti casseroles in St. Louis and froze them and had them defrosted on the trip, the drive for 10 or 11 hours coming from St. Louis back to Detroit area. She also brought a huge salad and one of those monster big garbage bags. Of course, it wasn't dressed, but it was ready to go. We started the tradition, or I should say she did, because when you have a large family and each member of the family has their own Thanksgiving dinner with their individual children, you don't have a chance to see all your nieces and nephews who come in for that occasion to be with their families. So the spaghetti dinner was going for years and years. My sister Dibby, whose name was not Debbie, but Dibby, started this tradition, and thanks to her daughter, Judy, we have continued it, and I believe this year will be 50 years of the spaghetti dinner the night before Thanksgiving.
Wow, Kay, that is beautiful. Thanks again for calling and for the kind comment. I'm just wondering, though, you know, this is... A lot of times people want to kind of save up their appetite heading into Thanksgiving. It sounds like this is quite the feast, and that is it's just a beautiful tradition that you all do. And I love you said your sister, she would make it at home and freeze it and then and then take it on the drive, and it would kind of thaw out on the drive to where everybody else was getting together. Is that what I understood?
In my mother's oven or one of her brothers or sisters who live locally. Okay. Yeah. However, for many years, her wonderful daughter, Judy, has taken the same tradition up. So, yes, we do have to be careful about not overeating the night before, but it has been such a joyous time. There could be as many as 60, 70 people that I'm talking about gathering for the spaghetti dinner.
Wow.
So it is a reunion of all reunions, a family. And sometimes they include a few friends because the friends are kind of envious of our family having this tradition every Thanksgiving.
Sure.
Well, I'm kind of envious, Kay. I mean, if we took a plane flight, you know, there in time, maybe we could. You wouldn't even notice us.
Even notice that you were there.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Of course, we would notice because we enjoy your show so very much. So I wish you a very holy and a happy Thanksgiving to you and all the listeners. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kay. God bless.
Thank you, Kay. That was beautiful.
Yeah, precious.
Jerry, we could sneak in on a spaghetti dinner.
Yeah, I know. It would be kind of nice just to blend in, you know.
But she said, like, it's going on 50 years?
Mm-hmm. 50, 60 people getting together, yeah.
But she said 50 years, right?
She thinks this will be the 50th year of doing this.
Okay,
yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, that probably got a home run. That's a home run call.
For
that's
sure.
Incredible. Wow. Love it. That was a beautiful call. Okay, if you wanted to share your family traditions, I'm making notes here. Let's go. 833-288-3986. But I make notes every show. I just have to tell you.
Yeah. I know. You've how many notebooks do you have now? Over 7 plus.
I have
years.
I think I'm up to 9 of those. What do you call those? File boxes?
Oh, yeah. 9 file boxes. Wow.
9. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So folks, if you ever want to know what you called in and talked about on the show, Debbie can tell you.
I could yeah. find it. And Jerry, and isn't this true, Jerry? Haven't you asked me something like from 6 months ago and you say, hey, can you check back mm-hmm. on, and I even gave you the day, the time, and everything.
I know. She's very efficient.
I know. Went All right, to Catholic well, let's go. School. Okay.
Here's some more family traditions. 833-288-3986. Let's go to Central Michigan, and Mary is listening to us on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Mary. Thanks for waiting.
Certainly, it's been enjoyable.
Good.
Unfortunately, kind of driving, but I can still talk.
Okay.
It's just broke. I wanted to share one tradition. I'm sure some people do this. And it was not anything we grew up with, either side of us, not me or my husband. And we did not do it when we first were having kids, because when we first have kids, they're all little, we just buy presents for them. But we have 7 kids, and they spread out over 14 years. So eventually, your older kids are off in college, and sometimes they like to buy some presents for some of the younger kids. But it doesn't always end up all even. And now that they're all beyond college, they're spread out both coasts of the United States, some in Europe. Or we even had one living in Ethiopia for a while. So my husband really made a decision. He wanted, and he keeps doing this all the time, trying to find ways to get them together, even if not physically. So, and build a relationship. So what he started probably about 10 years ago is the night of Thanksgiving after the meal, and this is what everybody now waits for, on phone, on Zoom, whatever. After, he gets a hat, puts in little pieces of paper with different people's names in it, and then he has somebody, usually if there's anybody still in the house, now we're down to our granddaughter who was visiting one time, all the names, and we make a list. It's basically Secret Santa.
Mm.
Each person then, therefore, gets one person, you know, out of, what, 12, 15 people in the family, because we include mm-hmm. grandparents, in-laws, one person that they get a gift for. And right now it's become quite an involved thing. We're having texts going back and forth. Now it's a huge group text, fortunately, now taken over by our eldest daughter, Kristen. And Mark's in there, too. You know, he knows everybody's name, but she's good at now kind of reminding people, we need your list of what you want people for Secret Santa. Give us mm-hmm. a list here. And then in the stream, my husband texts in there and says, now make sure you let me know what you bought for each person so I can cross it off their list, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We don't all get together for Christmas. We try. We did once or twice, but no matter where anybody is, we all mm-hmm. get on Zoom and open our presents. Christmas Eve after.
And that's, Mary, that's when you find out who the person is who picked your name?
No, we find out on Christmas Eve when people, wherever they are, open the present that's been mailed to them.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Zoom.
Gotcha. Right. Right, okay. And do you have spending limits and stuff?
No, that would be a good idea. That would be a good idea. Nobody goes too crazy. I guess if it's a Secret Santa thing, they know not to go super. But, you know, mm-hmm. that is a good idea. I think everybody just kind of fits in there, and I don't know, the $50 limit or something like that. It depends. You know, mm-hmm. actually, there is. I'm sure my husband has some sort of regulation in his mind, and he probably hints to the other people, okay, I think mm-hmm. he's going to put a little more in there.
Yeah.
He's good at doing that himself.
And very cool.
Sometimes, though, it's not totally random, though. He has several times kind of rigged it so that 2 kids who really like each other got each other. Sometimes Ooh. He's rigged it so kids don't like each other get each other.
And, so, you're giving your, is this your husband that's doing this?
Yes, he's in charge of all of this. He's the relationship guru. This is his joy. He always wanted to have this family, which I didn't realize when we first married. He only wanted two kids. We ended up with seven because I wanted five. He wanted two, so we compromised, added them. But he really just, it makes his heart warm when he sees people helping each other out. When the youngest is escorted by the second eldest cross country to go to college, or they have common interests and they do things together, it just makes him so excited. Mm-hmm. He's always snooping to find out who likes what. And, you know, we watch Facebook all the time, although the younger, a lot of the kids don't do Facebook as much anymore. So we also have to watch Instagram, keep up what's going on there.
But Mary, it sounds like everybody looks forward to this activity, right?
Apparently, yes. Like, I never did. I wasn't all into it at all, because giving presents is not a big deal in our family. We always gave him, like, you know, a bag of tea or something. But for him, it's a thing. And so when you were talking about things that the kids really grew up looking forward to, I feel like that's really the main thing. I was feeling guilty because, you know, I would like it to be the Advent wreath. I would like it to be the Advent calendar. But we didn't really follow through with that ourselves too much. We put the wreath out but never lit the candle. So this is kind of the main one. I do have one other tradition, though, that I can feel proud of now. My husband is proud of it now, too, because it's something that I started. I didn't really start it. It's basically, I carried on my father's tradition. And that was the Christmas card / photo / yearly letter. I did it from the very first time we were married, and then over time it's evolved to be just like the 1 year catch up. But the part that finally my husband started to laugh about and feel happy about, I'm terrible at being on time. I mean, I'd be lucky if I get it out by February. Eventually it started going out in May. Last time it went out in July. At first he didn't understand me, but then when everybody calls back and says they love getting the Christmas card in July, it makes them crack up. It's now the thing, the family Christmas letter.
Wow.
So every year I just ask people, what do you want in there? And I just turn it almost into a poem, like only one line per kid. Mm-hmm. And we try to get a family photo together. And if not, we have to like kind of, sometimes our photographer or son can like sketch in somebody else's Photoshop somebody else in there. Sometimes we just have to have multiple photos.
Jerry, are you with us?
I am here, yeah.
Okay. We had to get you by phone. Are you on phone now? What are you doing? You're leaving us on video.
There's a little bit of a storm here right now, rain and wind and stuff, and so the power just went out, so I can't be on via the usual method, but you know, and as I speak, the sun breaks through the clouds. What do you know?
Well, we're glad you're back. And I just want to apologize to Mary again. Mary, if you want to call back, please do so and finish up the letter. We're sorry about that. We had a little hiccup there. But that's fascinating. I did make a lot of notes on the Secret Santa and, you know, the family letters where Jerry, where everybody, you know, stays up to date on what people are doing with pictures and everything. I think those are really wonderful, because that you can keep those, you can refer back to those. I have a lot of friends that do that for their families, and they send them out to friends as well, and that's a nice way to stay up with the kids and grandkids and everything. But Jerry, real quickly, before if you have a comment on Mary's call, or we can move on to Joe in Pensacola in just a moment, I wanted to just clarify something. I said to you, I have 9 file boxes. Let me just clarify something or correct something. Those file boxes contain not only the books from the shows, it contains the prayer books, and they also contain various items from pledge drives and other resources or materials or things that you've sent us, dear listeners, that we keep. I keep them in the year that you sent them in. So that's why it's the 9 boxes. For the show boxes, it would probably be only 3 boxes of the show notes. So I just wanted to clarify that I also keep everything else too.
No, I just, the letters thing triggered a memory for me. I'll just share this real quickly and we'll go back to the phones. My uncle, who was a Redemptorist priest, a missionary for 50 years in Thailand, he used to send home audio letters. What he would do is if he was sitting down for a meal or just had a few extra minutes, he would run a cassette tape and record some thoughts and comments and what happened today and here's what's going on over here, and then would stop it and then record some more. So over the course of, you know, it would take him 2 or 3 or maybe 4 weeks to fill up a whole cassette tape, and he would just mail it to us, and then we would sit there and listen to that at the dinner table. So that was a beautiful tradition. It kept us in touch with him back when there was no, you know, social media and Zoom and stuff like that to keep us really closely connected.
Who has those tapes now?
I don't know. I would guess my sister probably had them. She's now deceased, so they might be at my brother-in-law's house. That would be something great to look into. I think I'll do that.
Yeah, please do. I would love to hear his voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful priest, beautiful man.
That's amazing. Okay. All right. We're going to go to... okay, we're moving. Oh, we're going because we have an international. Joe, hold on. Please hold on. We've got Peter in Switzerland on internet radio. Hello, Peter.
Hello. Nice to talk to you.
Yes. Thank you for calling. Tell us your family traditions.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I'm now in my 70s, and for much of my life, on Christmas Day, at 3 o'clock English time, 4 o'clock in Switzerland, we listened to Her Majesty the Queen after Christmas dinner. And, you know, in the 50s, it was just on the radio, in the 60s, on black and white television, and then later, of course, in color television. And now with my own family, they've now grown up, but when we're together, we, until now, until this year, we've always tried to listen to Her Majesty. And what I would like to say is that so often Her Majesty had... something to mention about her Christian faith and how important Jesus Christ and the Bible were to us individually and, of course, to the country and to the people who were listening to her. That's about it. That's what I thought you might like to hear. Mm-hmm. Of course, sadly, this year we won't be able to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sadly, but what a life well lived. And I think you're making a very important point. You know, when we hear from our leaders, our government leaders, our, you know, civil leaders and political, you know, office holders and stuff, who, you know, not only, you know, give a message, say at Christmas time or other times of the year, but when they share their faith, you know, I think it's very inspiring for everybody else. And it can only serve to deepen people's faith and devotion to hopefully Jesus Christ is the religion that they are, you know, very proud to proclaim. So,
Well, you know what's interesting, Jerry and Peter, with the Queen's passing, and they did all that media coverage on her whole entire life. I didn't realize how everything she did, everything she thought about and discerned, she really took in her faith and her understanding of God and her relationship with God. I never knew that. And I'm a history buff. And I never, it was, they did great coverage on her life. I just wish we knew that more so, especially here in the United States. I wish we knew that when she was alive and reigning. What do you think about that, Peter? Was that did you see that media coverage too? I'm sure you did in Switzerland.
Oh well, of course, yes, and I'm so happy to hear that you in the United States are aware of how clearly her Christian faith was so important to her, and I'm sure she made many of her decisions strictly on the basis of what she believed was right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. What is it? It's not snowing there yet, right? In Switzerland? You don't have any snow yet, right?
No. It's a little bit, it's getting colder now, but it'll be on the way soon, I hope.
Well, we feel.
Allow me to talk on the radio.
Yeah. We feel very, very honored, Peter. I think this is our second call from Switzerland in this month, I believe, right, Jerry?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty cool. You never know. We may have to do a pilgrimage to Switzerland, Peter.
Very privileged to live here. I've been here 40 years or more. My family, of course, is essentially Swiss. And it's a lovely country, like so many other countries in the world. Like so many other countries.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. We're so grateful that you did. And please stay in touch with us. And thank you for listening to the show. And God bless you. Okay, so Jerry, you know what? Can I quickly, let me mention, we didn't mention, we always highlight wonderful things for our listeners, Jerry, if that's okay. I just want to make sure everybody tunes in to our dear friend, Al Cresta in the afternoon, Monday through Friday afternoon, 4 Eastern time on EWTN Radio. Al Cresta and his guests talk about today's news and the things that matter most. Today is Father, we love him, Father John Ricardo, continues the Rescue Project series. So you got to tune in, folks, please.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to continue?
Please.
Okay. Joe, we have a little bit of time. We're going to squeeze you in because we promised we'd get to you in Pensacola, Florida. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I was going to talk about family traditions that both my mother and my mother-in-law made that have been carried down, because I was thinking about Thanksgiving. But as I think of Christmas, there was an incredible family from Sherburn, Mass. Called the Downings, who used to do a live nativity scene. I hope they still do it. It's been going on for well over 40 years. And every time at Christmas when we would go home, I think we may have gotten four generations into the play over time. But you'd go back 10, 15 years later, and you'd see all your friends and their kids would be in it, and they'd read the nativity narrative right out of the Bible, so some people were getting to hear that, and their evangelism to the community was absolutely incredible. So,
wow. I love live nativity scenes in the plays. I think I agree with you, Joe. I think they stay with people forever. I know families that have been doing it for years. I wish I could have gotten my family into it. But what do you think, Jerry? Have you experienced one?
I have, yeah. I love what you said. You know, I was thinking the exact word when you said evangelization. I was thinking the exact same thing. And this is, you know, just a beautiful opportunity for those who maybe see Christmas as being about the lights and the tinsel and the trees and the gifts and all. They can see, you know, the deeper, the real meaning of the season of Christmas. So I love that. Yeah, I love the, you know, live nativity scene.
Mm-hmm. Way to go, Joe. That's awesome. We love it. Thank you so much. I'm glad we got to squeeze you in. And we have to go super fast. We literally have like 30 seconds. Jan in Missouri, Sirius XM 130. Could you do it in 30 seconds, your family tradition?
I'll try. Back in the 50s, when I was a kid, my uncle had penny grab. There were 22 grandkids. We were allowed to grab our hand in the bowl, and what we could get out in one hand is what you got to keep. And he would then also give you half a silver dollar, and a candy bar. And it was always great fun. And last year, my son resurrected it, and he is doing it now for my grandkids. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it with coins, with quarters and dimes and nickels that he saves up during the year. So,
right.
Just really great fun. We really just had fun, so much fun with the kids grabbing in the jar. So,
oh,
beautiful.
Jan, yeah. Beautiful is right, Jerry. And we're not going to get to Janet. Janet, we're so sorry. You can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Jerry and I loved the show. I know the show team did as well. We took lots of notes. I love all the ideas. Keep them coming, okay? Let's keep the conversation going. It's just a wonderful time for us to come together before the holidays and share our family ideas, because it gets us closer together as a Take Two family. Right, Jer?
That's right. Yeah, we're going to continue tomorrow, another broadcast for you here. And it's a special day. It is Debbie's birthday, and we're going to talk about what is the best gift you have ever received. That's tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie here on EWTN Radio. Thanks to the show team, affiliates, for carrying the show. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. And St. Joseph, pray for us.